The Reverend Dr. Catherine Henderson is president of Auburn Theological Seminary in New York City, a profoundly influential center of faith-based leadership, activism, and innovative ministry. As the seminary slogan urges, the mission is to trouble the waters and heal the world. This past summer, I was privileged to attend a summit of progressive faith leaders in Tennessee, spearheaded by Auburn. Our purpose was intense analysis and strategy for what's next in the religious progressive movement. I've been really eager to have a follow-up conversation with Dr. Henderson. We talked with her on State of Belief while we were in Nashville, and I'm very pleased now today that we can have an opportunity to follow up on that conversation. I want to thank Catherine and her staff at Auburn, and particularly Mackie Alston with her, for being such good friends to State of Belief Radio. We work hand in hand together, and for so many reasons. Catherine, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Welton, it's great to be back with you, and thank you for those kind words. We appreciate the relationship and the role that State of Belief plays in the movement.
You know, anytime the subject turns to the role of progressive religion in public life, the first reality that always intrudes is the way the language of morality, religious freedom, and faith-based activism has become so aligned in the media with conservative Christianity. Mm-hmm. Does that matter?
In some ways, it doesn't really matter, because I think that what some of us are seeing is a growing and vibrant and very much alive, what I would call a multi-faith movement for justice that is growing across the country, you know, where there are groups, large and small, bright spots, really, of diverse people of faith and moral courage who are, you know, taking to the streets, taking to the voting booths, taking to the internet to enact values, values that often come from a faith place, about how we create a society where there's human flourishing for all, with an emphasis on all.
Yes.
You know, all
yes.
of God's children.
I often wonder, how important is it for us to tell people who we are as people in progressive religion, or if it's not better just to show them?
I think there's obviously room for both.
Sure.
There's the telling, but obviously putting things into action and living the good life is really what we're about. And I think that's what our religious teachings tell us. I mean, from my Christian perspective and yours, the text that I often go back to is Matthew 25. If you see me hungry, feed me. If you see me unclothed, clothe me. Visit me in prison when I'm in prison. If I'm a stranger, invite me in. And so, you know, a text like that is about right action, right relationship, and then right policies, we might say.
Sure.
And so it certainly can be about words, and words can be inspiring, and words matter a lot as we create a culture of civility and compassion. But actions, yes, they do often speak louder than words.
As you muse on our mission and our narrative, what come to mind as some of the major obstacles to what we're trying to do?
I think that an obstacle that I see is actually money.
Mm-hmm.
I worry a lot about money, because you need money to create infrastructures that support movements for justice. And we have certainly seen conservatives underwrite a movement
mm-hmm.
with a lot of money for media, for education, for leadership training. And I think that those of us who are a part of building multi-faith movements for justice really need to underwrite our movements in a much more robust way. And we often see, for example, I was in a church just recently and was doing a tour of a newly renovated homeless shelter, and that was wonderful. It's very important for people to have beds to sleep at night. But that doesn't really address the systemic issues of poverty and the creation of the need for those beds, namely homelessness. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we need to do a reframe from, you know, charity and benevolence giving through congregations and individuals and really try to get at building an infrastructure that's going to change systems.
You know, I am so glad you said that, because we've talked about it before, of course, but I really do believe you're right on target. The community of more conservative Christians and more fundamentalist Christians seems to understand the necessity of financing nonprofits within their realm of ideology. And they do that with a level of devotion and generosity that I don't think is duplicated in our movement.
I think that we definitely have room to grow in this area. And yes, funding robustly and funding over a long enough period of time to actually change the game. And I am seeing, actually, that there is a change here. There are people that we are running into who may have grown up in the church and have very fond feelings but may not be associated with organized religion, and their philanthropy has of late been really focused on politics, on political philanthropy. But some of them are now actually seeing that faith-based organizing is the lever for social change. It's the key ingredient. And some of them are starting to think about strategic philanthropy in a different way.
Yeah. Going beyond that, I want to just acknowledge that there are a few prominent voices who challenge the very premise of a progressive faith-based movement. What do you say to those people?
If I read the signs of the times correctly, I'm seeing a very robust faith-based movement that's growing in many different places. For example, one of the signs is the Moral Mondays movement that started last April in North Carolina, where, you know, William Barber, head of the NAACP, and also a pastor, is leading the way. And, you know, the Moral Mondays movement is happening in some ways across the country and pockets. We have a growing group here in New York City that I've been associated with. I think of Sister Simone Campbell and the nuns on the bus, who have brought the issue of a moral budget to bear and also focused now on immigration issues. Mm-hmm. And I also, quite frankly, let's talk about Pope Francis.
Oh, my.
I think that he may be a sign of the time, too, somebody who's trying to reframe the perspectives and interpretation of tradition and action, getting back to that action piece,
yes,
for the Catholic Church, but also for many of us who are watching his actions and listening very carefully to his words. I think about LGBT equality and faith leaders all across the country who are standing for it and not against it. So for those who would say that there is not a faith-based movement for justice, I would dispute that.
Well, I want you to not be too modest and not mention what's going on at Auburn as well, because Groundswell is a part of this movement, as are other items. So I'd like you to mention some of what's there.
Sure, absolutely. One of the ways that people organize and move is through the Internet now. And so we are developing an online community through Groundswell, which is our site for online organizing. Auburn's mission is to equip leaders to do the work of justice and to build communities and bridge divides. And so Groundswell is our site for digital organizing, where we help to equip leaders, train them how to do digital organizing, how they can show up on the Internet and gather force around social issues. And some of the ones that have been most robust have been around human trafficking, around gun violence, and marriage equality. So it's a tool. It's a tool for the leaders, and it's a very effective. We have an online community now of around 100,000 people all across the country, which
That's
is
amazing.
Very exciting. And then we were very fortunate with others to come together in Nashville in June. You mentioned this earlier under the rubric of Mountaintop, where we gathered about 100 faith-based justice leaders working on all sorts of issues around the country, on poverty, on racial justice, on religious diversity issues. And we were trying to discern together how we can build a more effective movement for change. I have to say, I remember sitting there almost, you know, weeping at the beauty of what I saw, because we were young and old. We were Christians, Jews, and Muslims, and Sikhs, and humanists. And, you know, I would say it was, for me, the picture of the beloved community. Mm-hmm. And there was Simran, a Sikh American, you know, with his turban, who led a morning prayer. And a young Muslim woman activist, Drost, who does door-to-door organizing as a Muslim young woman, a millennial, in Nashville. And Rudy Rasmus, an African-American leader of a mega church in Houston in a very poor neighborhood. And then, you know, Stosh Cutler from Bend the Arc, who's a Jewish activist here in New York City, who asked the burning question, you know, what difference does faith make in our movements for social change? And so for me, it was a picture of the world as we know it can be.
Those are good memories, and I'm glad you called the names, because the people there were important individually and brought together a strong community. I remember not long ago talking with Bishop Spong, and he said that it wasn't his preference to talk about progressive religion. He used the terms open religion and closed religion. What are your thoughts about that?
I think that, just as you said earlier, it's in the doing, maybe, and not so much the language. I think that what the word that I would use is an inclusive movement and a multi-faith movement for justice. And when we say inclusive, what I mean is multi-faith. In other words, people of different religious traditions working together. Mm-hmm. It means generationally inclusive. That includes seasoned leaders and emerging leaders, millennial leaders. It includes Republicans and Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the most important thing is that we're trying to get away from the divides that exclude people, that tell people that they are not a part of something. We see around us, particularly, you know, I think the sort of tragedy that we see in Washington, where the political divides in Congress and otherwise have really brought us to a standstill and call into question our democracy and call into question the premise on which America was built, namely for diversity. So I think that my word would be inclusive. We're trying to create welcome and inclusion.
Yeah, well said. Catherine, I mentioned in the introduction those words that you all use in describing your mission, trouble the waters and heal the world. And I often think when I read those, I love them, that that some people see that as two missions, and one group's troubling the waters and the other's healing the world. And you all have brought them together.
We love it, too. We love our tagline, and it has traveled well around the country and the world, and a lot of people resonate with it. So, yes, we're putting two things together. It comes from the spiritual wade in the water, children. Mm-hmm. God's going to trouble the waters, and I think our understanding of that is that all of us have to be involved in doing some of the troubling. In other words, you know, God can use our help as God's agents on earth, and that it sometimes takes some stirring things up to make change.
Mm-hmm.
Being passive or sitting idly by is not going to enact the change that we need and the change that we need to be. So that's where it
Great.
Comes from.
I love it.
And
yeah.
I particularly see the robust presence of millennials today who are helping to lead multi-faith movements for justice. And they are doing a lot of the troubling, and that is very heartening because we need new generations who understand the world differently, who have a more inclusive experience and understanding of the new America that's multiracial, multi-faith, multi-gender, and so they are bringing a robust presence to this work.
When you talked about progressive religion, when you talked about the mountaintop gathering, you spoke in very positive and exciting terms. I think we all felt, for example, coming away from the experience at Mountaintop, a new kind of enthusiasm and optimism of what could be done, the new people that are involved. What to you, Catherine Henderson, is the most exciting part of this new work we're doing?
It's partly what I just said, which is that there is a new generation of millennials who are taking up this work, and that they are much less divided and much less exercised around the traditional divides of issues and race. For example, same-sex marriage, sexual orientation, that perhaps they can transcend some of the rhetoric and the political divides and religious divides that have really been obstacles for us in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that. I think we saw that at Mountaintop in Nashville back in June, that kind of leadership. And I'm aware of a number of gatherings of millennials around the country. And so for me, that is really different. I think, too, Welton, you and I grew up and were, you more than I, but a part of the civil rights movement. And that, to a large extent, was a Christian movement. It was a different time. There were certainly Jews involved and others, but it was a very different time in this country. And so I think the other new thing that I'm seeing and heartened by is that, you know, minority religions, Muslims, Sikhs, and others who are finding their place and way as a part of this new emerging America. And they're a part of this religious diversity, too, that America was really made to protect and uphold and support. This multi-faith presence, that is, it's very exciting. It's not always easy, but it's very exciting. And then the millennial presence as well.
And I would add, just from my perspective, the people with whom I get to work, people like you, make this a very fulfilling and mutually encouraging movement. And I'm grateful for that. And I tell you, Catherine, I think one of the things about Auburn and you personally and your leadership of Auburn that just strikes me as so important is the explicit, not implicit, but the explicit relationship between theological education and social justice. Social justice is not just something that people at Auburn study about. It's something they do. And say just a word about how important formal theological education is in this.
You are right that we are trying to draw these two things together. And you're right, just as the troubling, the waters healing the world, we're trying to pull together, we are trying to create the space in the world of theological education through modeling this at Auburn, the relationship to social justice. And, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. said something really great about the intimate connection of the two, that social justice without deep theological thought was mere enthusiasm, and that each relates to the other in a very important way. And so our work is trying to lift up that connection. And I think that we have identified capacities that we think that leaders need, the faith leaders who work on justice. Bridging divides would be one. Being courageous in the face of conflict. You know, how do you deal with the conflicts within your own movement as well as the ones out of it in terms of working on issues. Being wise about money, that's another one. And media savvy, you know, knowing how to use the media. These are some of the capacities. So religious leaders need different kind of capacities, and they need to learn them not in the classroom necessarily, but out there doing the work in the world.
Yeah. Just so we can answer the question that some people are going to be asking is, what do I do to be a part of this, or how can I find out more about this? Give them the website.
Great. Well, let me give you the Groundswell website first, www.groundswell-movement.org, and then www.auburnseminary.org.
Okay. I encourage our listeners to go there because
Please.
There's a lot of information.
Wonderful.
The Reverend Dr. Catherine Henderson is president of Auburn Theological Seminary in New York City. The seminary is a wellspring of innovative thinking, education, and activism. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to work closely with the people making that happen, and none of them more so than the president. Catherine, it's always good to be with you, and I thank you for what you do, and I thank you for taking time today to be on State of Belief Radio.
Welton, thank you so much. It's a privilege and great to be with you always.